This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. We are presented by DraftKings. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, hope the weekend has treated you well. How are we doing this morning?
We're good, Femi. We're good. We're counting the days to the NBA playoffs. We're in that little bit of a lull period, right? I don't know. Were you at Circa last night to watch the big fight like a lot of the Raider players were, or did you stay home and sit on the couch?
I was at home on the couch. I did not know the Raiders were having a watch party here for the Makhachev and Poirier fight. Honestly, I went to sleep before the fight even started. Like, I was on Twitter. I saw people talking about the undercards. I mean, we got to get up early. You know, these are early wake-up calls out here on the West Coast.
Yeah,
like, we can't be dilly-dallying around at night on a Saturday night. So I woke up this morning and I saw that Makhachev beat Poirier by submission, but I didn't get the memo that the Raiders silver and black was going to be in the building here at Circa. That's a new one for me. That's news to me.
There you go. They're all there. It was awesome. Yeah, there we go. And so off word of the weekend, but we get to at least we have a game this Thursday. We got to count the days. It's like the NFL season. We're waiting for the days. But look, it's the summer. We're entering week 17 of the offseason. We're under 100 days till football season. So enjoy. Just kick back. Enjoy the summer. The weather's getting nicer here on the East Coast. There's nothing to complain about.
Oh, man, we're cooking out here in Vegas, Michael. We're 100 all week.
Yeah, I heard.
We might touch 110 later this week. We are cooking.
I got my whole – Millie's out there with the kids. You know, they're all out there. So, yeah, I get daily weather reports. Trust me, I do.
A lot of pool time, I would assume, for the grandkids, which
it's Dominic's seventh birthday, you know, coming up. I mean, it's a holiday. This will last longer than anybody's birthday, you know, so it's good.
Does he do the birthday month thing? Is that what he is like?
He does the birthday month thing, yeah. I mean, and well deserved too. Yeah. You know, I mean, he deserves it. Nobody does. Yeah, exactly. He's the first one, so he's going to take all the bows that he can get. He's great in school, so
that's good.
You can't complain. And you know, he's got to solve all the 49er problems. He did his best for the Raiders. Now he's got to move on to the 49ers.
Well, we'll get him that Lombardi trophy that they're in hot pursuit of. Happy early birthday to our buddy Dominic.
He's already got some rings. He'll get some of mine, so he don't have to worry about it. He's in the clear.
Lucky guy he is. Dominic turning 7 years old. We'd love to hear that. Happy birthday to him. Early birthday, I should say, at least. But we have a fun show for you guys over these next 2 hours. 30 minutes from now, our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, co-host of VSiN Primetime, will join us to give us a breakdown of the NBA final between the Dallas Mavericks and Boston Celtics, like Michael alluded to. Game one Thursday night over at TD Garden in Boston. Then in hour number two, 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Patrick Finley, Chicago Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, will join us. The Bears are on hard knocks, Michael. There's all this hype about this team. Caleb Williams, number one overall pick. Win total, 8.5, 9. Man, there's just everyone is in on the Chicago Bears, so we can't wait to get Patrick's take on this one. Yeah. What are people by the lake saying about the Chicago Bears?
Well, I think you have to be really careful, and I say this with complete respect to Bear fans, is you cannot go by where the money's being spent on any Bears bets, right? Yeah. I hate to bring up the bad news, but you remember when Mitch Trubisky was the leader in the MVP candidate, and I was calling it a St. Jude's pick 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we had Justin Fields 2 years ago, or last year he was going to win the MVP, right? And everybody was on that chip, and that number was coming way down. Look, Bear fans are incredible. They really are. They put their money where their mouth is. They do it with their heart, not with their minds. And we're going to get a peek inside the Bears building at Hallis Hall, which will be fun. And I think you got to be really careful about what you show as the general manager, Ryan Poles, as the head coach, Matt Eberflus. And it gives you a peek, because if you look at some of the ones, I mean, Herm Edwards was not good when that was going on with Dick Curl. Remember that one on the Chiefs? And then we had who could forget the Cleveland Browns? I mean, that one was a disaster. Freddie Kitchens was the only one that looked like he knew what he was talking about and got promoted to the head coach. And it was like, are you sure we really want him as a head coach? You know, so I think you got to be really careful here when you let the cameras come in behind the scenes.
Yeah, the Bears will be the training camp version of the Hard Knocks. We'll get the New York Giants for the off-season version of the Hard Knocks, which is a month
that
from today.
That one I can't wait for.
That's a month from today, July
that
2nd.
That one I can't wait for. I mean, that's going to be like, you know, what did they do to the Zapruder film? How did they manipulate the Mary Mormon film? I mean, like, this is going to be interesting how this is all played out, right? Yo, we really, really wanted Alt in the draft. That's who our target was. But once Drake May came off the board, we gave up all hopes of drafting Alt. Okay, I got that. All right. I can't wait to see how this is going to go. Can't wait to see how they're going to spin it. Brian Daboll's not calling plays, but he's calling all the plays in preseason. But he trusts Mike Kafka. Don't worry. He's got full confidence. Okay, here we go.
The Joe Alt conversation might be in the deleted scenes for the New York Giants.
Yes, exactly.
Offseason training camp, Hard Knocks there. But we got a lot of football that we'll get to throughout the course of the show. But let's start this with our NBA final thoughts. It doesn't have to be our final thoughts. We have a lot of time between now and Thursday before game one between the Mavericks and the Celtics. But if you look at the series price over at DraftKings, Boston right now a -210 favorite. They have the home court advantage. They have the best record throughout the regular season. They were the best team throughout the regular season. Dallas Mavericks +175. Since the trade deadline, they have been phenomenal. They went on that awesome stretch in March, carried it into the postseason to where they have now made another trip to the NBA Finals. Michael, how do you, I guess, early thoughts on this series, break this thing down, Boston and Dallas?
Well, I mean, look, Boston brings some incredible statistics to the series, right? We know their path to the finals have not been difficult. They can't control that, right? They couldn't control that Jimmy Butler was going to get hurt against the Heat. You know, they couldn't control that Halliburton got hurt. They can't control any of that. They just were able to clear the path in their way. And this is a team built defensively, but when you peel back the layers, there's a lot of things to like about them. They launched as many three-pointers as any team in the league. Their shooting percentage is outstanding. You know, they defensively, they're the best team defensively in the league. Their points per play is third in the league behind the Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks. So they shoot the ball per minute very effectively. They don't send you to the free throw line. They're the number one team in the National Basketball Association of not getting fouling you to get you to the line. So there's so much data that supports it, and it's going to be interesting to see. Now, everybody seems to think that Porzingis is the wild card in this as he comes back off the calf injury. But for me, you know, I think Porzingis was in Dallas. They know him. So I think this is going to come down to how do they defend Kyrie? How do they defend Luka? And how do they match up? You know, and there's going to be games where I think it's going to be lopsided that Boston wins because they shoot so well from the three-point line. But there's going to be games where if they don't shoot well, Dallas is going to win. I think it's really even. I would be shocked if it didn't go six or seven games. Femi, you?
Yeah, I think the games that are going to be close are the ones I'm really fascinated by, because all season long, the Achilles, if you could nitpick something about the Boston Celtics, it was how they performed in crunch time. Now, you have to give them full credit for what they did in the Eastern Conference Finals. There was a lot of close games in that series, and they were able to come up with the big wins. Like, that series was not, when you watched it, was not a 4-0 sweep. That was more so Boston just won those four games. It was not a dominant effort. They were able to get it done in the crunch time, but they were not the most clutch team in the regular season. And if anything, people would say, oh, they get into too much isolation. And on the other side, you look at two guys in Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving who were probably made in the crunch time factory. Like those guys are amazing in those situations when it's late game, tied. You can trust Luka Doncic. We all saw the shot that he made over Rudy Gobert in game three of the Western Conference Finals. Kyrie Irving has made maybe one of the biggest shots in NBA history in a game seven when he was in Cleveland against the Golden State Warriors in 2016. These guys are big time clutch players. So I'm curious to see if we get into a close game tied 2 minutes to go, how is the Luka and Kyrie versus Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown matchup play out? Because that's ultimately decide those kinds of games. But I'm interested because, Michael, hear this. This is an interesting stat from David Purdom over at ESPN, courtesy of Mackenzie Kramer, who works for ESPN Stats and Info. And he tweeted it a couple days ago, said the Celtics were underdogs in just three games all season, tied for the fewest by any team to reach the finals this century, while the Mavericks were underdogs 42 times this season, most by any team to reach the finals this century. Now, of course, Dallas has changed his team post-trade deadline, getting PJ Washington, getting Daniel Gafford. So it's not like the Dallas that we saw in November is not the Dallas that we see here in June. But I just find that fascinating that that's the statistic, and the series price is closer than that statistic would suggest that it should be.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what it really means, though, Femi, because if you look at the Chiefs and after Christmas Day, you'd say they're not favored to beat anybody, right?
Yeah, they're underdogs twice in the playoffs.
I mean, they couldn't beat the Raiders. Yeah, I think it's not about what you did. It's about what you're doing. I think that's the key component here. And what Dallas has done since the All-Star break has been really impressive, and you can't deny it. I mean, Nico Harrison's made some great trades. The team has come together. They're shooting well. They're playing well. Look, they beat the number one seed. They beat the third seed and the fourth seed. I mean, what more can be? The only reason they didn't beat the number two seed is because the three seed beat the two seed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they went through the West, and I think Luka made that very clear in what he was talking about. He's like, look, it was hard to get here. We're going to take some time off, but we're going to get on it. I'm not sure it means anything that they weren't favored. I think they've all admitted that it was a struggle for them to kind of come together as a team, especially when Grant Williams was there and he's out of shape and he was lazy and their chemistry was horrible, like it was the year before with Christian Wood. But now they've kind of cleaned that all up, and I think they're ready to challenge. I respect that Boston has been the favorite because Boston has, look, the best record in the league. They're playing the best, and their numbers all back it up.
Yep.
There's no denying Boston, but I think you got to handicap Dallas a little different.
Yeah, no, Dallas is definitely different than what we saw prior to the trade deadline. On the Porzingis front, he was at shoot around during the portion that was open to the media. I believe it was Friday afternoon. So I'm sure we'll find out more information, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, leading up to Thursday's game one of the NBA Finals, because it's a new added wrinkle to this thing. But like you mentioned, the Mavericks know Porzingis very well. He was down in Dallas for a few years. So I think that's just another storyline. Porzingis against Dallas, Kyrie against Boston. We can't wait for Thursday in the NBA Finals. All right, on the other side, we'll turn our attention to the gridiron, talking some NFL news and notes and some news or noise in OTAs next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, our boy Steve Mackinnon has adjusted power rankings and projected results for all 272 NFL regular season games. How about that to celebrate the month of June? Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight into your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, will be joining us in the next segment to get his thoughts on the NBA Finals. But Michael, let's start this off with some NFL news that just came down a short while ago from ESPN's Adam Schefter about the Atlanta Falcons and Philadelphia Eagles tampering ruling. So the league is expected to make a ruling this week on both the Falcons and the Eagles. I just read the article during the break. Adam Schefter reporting that the transgressions are considered more significant on the Atlanta Falcons side, that they are expected to receive a more severe discipline for tampering with then free agent quarterback Kirk Cousins. For the Philadelphia Eagles, it was free agent running back Saquon Barkley. But for the Falcons, I mean, in the past, we've seen teams get stripped of first round picks for tampering. And this is a franchise that already used a first round pick on Michael Penix at quarterback after giving Kirk Cousins $100 million. I mean, it's just a comedy of errors that keeps unfolding here for the franchise down in Atlanta.
Well, they got it, Femi. They have it. I mean, they've won so many Super Bowls there that I don't think it's going to matter. I mean, they've got this down cold. They're brilliant. I mean, when you can interview three people as better head coaches than Bill Belichick, I don't know how you can challenge anything they think about. So, you know, I think they'll get it. Look, to me, there's no way you do that deal and that quickly. Everybody knew he was going to Atlanta. I mean, we saw Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk report that there was an interchange between, you know, Kyle Pitts and Cousins, which Pitts denied. But, you know, there still was a lot of smoke there. And the one that's interesting is Barkley, too, because that happened so quickly. Barkley wasn't committed to Philadelphia. The one that I think Philly's going to slide through without any problem is the Bryce Huff one, who we knew he was going to Philly 10 days before. Everybody in the league knew he was going to Philly. It was the worst kept secret. I don't know how the Jets, I kept saying, why don't the Jets franchise him and keep him from Philly and then trade him to Philly? You know, they could have had the cap room to do it. You could have easily done it. They had enough guys they could have cut easily to get to under the cap for the brief time. But then they go ahead and sign Hassan Riddick and redo his deal. Like, who's a better player? Made no sense to me at all. Huff's a better player. They could have done that. And then they go and trade for Riddick and give up draft choices. Not that much, but still, you know, and they knew Phil. I mean, Joe Douglas knew. I knew. I didn't say it was Philly, but I knew it was Philly. I knew Philly had him. And so that's, to me, is an amazing thing. They're not even getting challenged on that, on the tampering charge. God bless them. You know, it's a great cover-up. The Barkley one, Houston was involved in that. Houston was intimately involved. That came down to the wire. And Barkley will tell you that. Now, I think Barkley was always going to go to Philly because he's a Jersey kid. He's played in New York. He played at Penn State. I mean, it made too much sense. But no state taxes can often sway you.
No, 100%. Yeah, I remember the Bryce Huff. Like, we were talking about that on the GM Shuffle 2 weeks before the quote-unquote legal tampering period begins. And you were saying Bryce Huff to the Eagles is, like, pretty much a done deal. The Barkley's, I mean, almost like the red herring here. They're saying, yeah, look at Saquon. Don't look over here. Look at Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. It's funny, Femi. I mean, that happens all the time. I did McAfee on Friday, and we were talking about how the Bills just gave – you know, Worthy to the Chiefs and could have given them to the Patriots. The Patriots were in high-speed pursuit of them, and everybody acted like it was news they've never heard of before. I mean, well, we said it on the podcast. If you listen, you know, it's there. I'm not breaking news. This is news that we've already reported, and it's a fact. It's not deniable. The Patriots were literally going hard after Worthy. They wanted him, and the Bills made a conscious decision to trade him to the Chiefs and not the Patriots. Life goes on.
So the Philadelphia Eagles and Atlanta Falcons, we'll get rulings on those later this week. According to Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Falcons' discipline is expected to be more severe than the one for Philadelphia.
Here's what I want to ask you. They cost the Patriots, they cost us a first-round pick and $1 million for Deflategate, which never occurred. It was a complete fabrication, okay? Admitted by Peter King, the man who drove the story, that he got set up in the whole thing. And, of course, people haven't gotten fired for that, but that's okay. They're still there. I mean, so lost the first round and got fined $1 million. And I think Belichick got fined, too. I don't know. I know the Patriots got fined $1 million. It'll be interesting to see what this tampering comes in. And if the Falcons lose a first-round pick, so now we've go – let's just go over this for just a brief moment. We go Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Michael Penix, and lose a first-round pick. Yeah, now that's why you really have a great defense. I could see that. It makes sense to me now. I know that's how you win Super Bowls in Atlanta.
Just burning those first-rounders like they mean nothing. And to add some context, you mentioned the Miami Dolphins. They forfeited their 2023 first-round pick and also a 2024 third-round pick for tampering with quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Sean Payton. So the league, like you mentioned, they're not scared of taking away these first-rounders. They took away from New England.
No.
They took one away from the Miami Dolphins. The Atlanta Falcons, if they're talking about this being severe, maybe they take one away from them, which, I mean, my goodness. Like, you draft Michael Penix Jr., which – this whole conversation has never been about Penix's actual play. Penix could be a rock star quarterback, and the decision is still bad. And nor Cousins. We just said that. Why are you doing both? And the fact that this Cousins $100 million guaranteed contract might cost you a first round pick, and then you already use it on Penix, who you're saying that maybe if everything works out, we won't see him for 4 to 5 years. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it's a good strategy for team building, especially on the defensive side.
Super Bowl winning GM Terry Fontenot knows what he's doing. Don't ever worry about that.
I won't question his prowess as an NFL general manager.
His acumen.
Yes, we will not question that. Let's get over to the OTAs, Michael, and let's question some things that we've seen or have not seen at OTAs so far. We talk about oftentimes, hey, this guy shows up, this guy didn't show up. Usually, it's no big deal, but down in Dallas, pass rusher Micah Parsons, the best player on the team, in my opinion, has been skipping OTAs. He showed up, and there's been some communication with Parsons and the Cowboys, so it's not a massive deal. But head coach Mike McCarthy was asked about Micah Parsons being absent at this week's OTAs. Here's what he had to say.
Well, I think anytime you have a chance to, you know, to be together, it's an opportunity to improve, whether it's in the mental realm, the physical realm, which is, you know, limited obviously this time of year, but, you know, in the emotional connection and so forth. So, but, you know, it's it's a long year. Training camp is really the heightened, you know, focus for all that. But yeah, it's definitely an opportunity that's been missed. At the end of the day, everybody has a responsibility. I mean, this is our jobs. Obviously, we have this period of time to do football activity, you know, that's regulated. So, I mean, I don't want to say unfortunately, but, you know, 98% of our football team's been here, you know, 100% of the time.
I'm picking up what McCarthy's putting down there. Like, you could sense that he doesn't want to be outwardly frustrated, but he's frustrated, you can tell.
Well, he can't be. It's voluntary, right?
Yeah.
It's voluntary. So he can't get outwardly frustrated. But the issue really, I'm sure, which I think Mike was really angered about, is that Mike Zimmer's installing a new defense. And that defense is going to be structured around Micah and how they handle and his role as a floater in the odd three-man front when he goes to nickel, Mike Zimmer's defense, where he's going to line up in just base, which they probably won't play a lot of. So I think a lot of that is more about, look, come in here, learn the new defense. You know, we're not going to be too taxing. You got a contract. You're not going to hold out. And you're in Dallas anyway. Look, I think one of the challenges, and this is why this new rule that they say the players love, which we can't find a player that likes it whatsoever, about starting training camp late, right? You know, nobody likes that, but it doesn't protect the players. I mean, Parsons is his own liability. If a weight falls on his big toe and he breaks his big toe, he's on his own. You know, he has no guarantee he's going to get paid. And they still own his rights. It's called a non-football related injury. So whenever an injury happens outside the building, this has been collectively bargained, it becomes on the player. And the club has every right to pay either the whole salary or no salary or anywhere in between. And I think you got to take a look at that, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And for me, as someone who, full disclosure, I am a fan of the Dallas Cowboys. I'll say that. I don't try to be biased about them. I have my questions about them this upcoming season. But all of that aside, Micah Parsons is somebody who always talks about how he wants to be one of the all-time greats. And he is a terrific player, great player, in my opinion, best player on the Cowboys, not even a question. But if you want to be one of those guys, one of those all-time greats, don't you need to be there? Don't you need to be there when they're installing a new defensive scheme? And like, it's like not a whole lot happens at OTAs, but just leading by example, I feel like you need to be there.
I mean, that's old. That's so old school, Femi. I agree. Look, Brady wasn't at all the OTAs in New England, and he's one of the greatest of all time.
I mean,
you know, I mean, so
in 2003, you know, he was probably there.
I think a lot
there.
Of it is, you know, I mean, he was in and out. I mean, he didn't want to be a part of the OTAs because he had his own program. In the last three Super Bowls, he was doing his own thing.
Well, there's been no Super Bowls in Dallas. So when we get to four of them, maybe Parsons can do his own thing.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Act now and save big. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can now subscribe for just $199, and we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get all the betting systems, the bet splits, the premium analysis, 24/7 video content. Don't miss out on this offer. VSiN.com/subscribe. And when you go there, make sure you use promo code Lombardi. If there's anything you take away from this, it has to be promo code Lombardi. When you subscribe at VSiN.com/subscribe, 13 months, 50 cents a day. Can't beat that deal. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, and our first guest joining us now to discuss the NBA Finals Game 1 Thursday night between the Mavericks and the Boston Celtics is our very own VSiN senior NBA analyst Jonathan Von Tobel, who joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. JVT, good morning. Hope all is well. Before we get into the nitty-gritty and the props, maybe some Finals MVP stuff, what do you make of the series price here? Boston minus 210, Dallas plus 175, a Boston team that was by far the best team in the regular season against the Mavericks, who might be playing the best in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would think generally it is. I'll start with the premise of I think it's generally kind of cheap for Boston. Not like insane to the point where you want to run to bet this thing right now. But I think given some of the market indicators, Femi, we might get this thing under $2 by the time we get to tip off on Thursday night. So you got plenty of time to sit back and wait this thing out. I'll go back to the original night when this series initially got set. Guys, the night that the Timberwolves got eliminated by Dallas, in some faraway places, you got this thing down to minus 170 before it really started to get some buyback and get pushed back up to where it is. And you've already seen like 5 cents get knocked off the consensus line. There's plenty of minus 210s out there, including over at DraftKings. So I think as the public makes their opinion known, and as the mass majority of bettors makes their opinion known, you might get this watered down a bit to the point where I do think anything under $2 would be playable. And by that extent, right, anything deriving from that, which would be -1.5 games, whatever it is. But I think my initial thought here would be that the Celtics are a little cheap considering what we thought the initial projections were going to be, which was like around a minus 230, minus 235 favorite.
Yep. I almost think, why does Dallas get no respect? I mean, if you were to predict, if you were to bet one of those series outcome, 4-1, 4-0, 4-2, what would you pick, JVT?
For the series, Michael, I think this is going to be a long series, right? So like 6 or 7 games, regardless of who you think is going to win, right? I think that when you look at their ability, both of these teams, the competitive nature, look, I don't think there's any question about this. I think Boston's got the better team. I think Dallas got the best player. And Luka Doncic is an absolute gamer. We have seen this now. He went to the Western Conference Finals now 2 out of the last 3 years, and now he's in the NBA Finals. There is something to be said about performing at the highest level, regardless of statistics. And it's not like the statistics are terrible for the Dallas Mavericks, and we know how much they've improved defensively as well. So I think this is going to be a hard-fought series. I don't think we're going to get what we saw in the conference finals, which is four competitive but yet a short series. I think this thing has the potential, Michael, to go very long and give us everything we've expected for sure.
We're hanging out with Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst here on the Progressive Guest Line. Check out JBT's work over on VSiN.com. And of course, VSiN Primetime. Check it out weekdaps 6 to 9 Eastern Time. Kristaps Porzingis, he has been out since the first round of the playoffs. Does that tilt anything for you, his availability? I mean, my guess is that he probably plays. I think all indication is that he's likely to play, which would assume then that's baked into the series price. But what do you think of Porzingis and how he factors into this series?
So I think he's huge, and this is actually a really interesting angle for me. I'm glad you brought him up because I think it ties into a couple of things that I find interesting from a series prop perspective for this thing. So, you go back and you watch, and these two teams played on March 1st, and that was after the trade deadline. PJ Washington played, Derek Jones Jr. played, and Daniel Gaffer played, and Derek Jones Jr. has been on the team. But regardless, they were all there on the floor, right, along with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. So you got kind of a sense of how this might play out. Now, some of the key differences, Derek Lively started. Derek Jones Jr. was coming off of the bench, so they weren't in these lineups that they have been using to get to this point right now. Roles did change. Having said that, when you've watched it, one of the things that really sticks out when you go back and watch the matchup on March 1st is Kristaps Porzingis was massive in what they were doing with him. They were using him on a ton of pick and pops against Lively and Gafford. He hit 4 out of 8 three-point attempts in the game. He scored over 20 points. They would work to get him switched onto Luka Doncic, and he would work out of that little elbow area, posting him up and going after him, drawing fouls, scoring, whatever it is. Kristaps Porzingis was a pretty big part of a very strong win for them. And I don't think the deficit in that game, I think it was like 138 to 110 is what matters. It's the intricacies of what they did. And Kristaps Porzingis was very important for me. So I think I'm really interested in looking at a couple of things for him in this series. For example, his points per game for the series is only at 15.4 over at DraftKings. I do think that's somewhat low considering the opportunities on the ability to work in the pick and pop and get 3-point shots and go after some of these bigs in that regard. The ability to go after Luka Doncic as well. Again, scoring 24 points in that game, I think he's going to have a stronger series than that and well below a season average too. I think the other interesting aspect, and this is worth a long shot sprinkle, the best number I could find was 20-1. But again, going back to the fact that he might be working a lot in these pick and pops at the top of the key, like you could get him at 20-1 to lead the series in 3-point makes. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. In that game itself, Jason Tatum had the most made threes. It was 5. Porzingis was right behind him at 4. And I think he's going to have a higher volume in this series working against these bigs and trying to get him out of the paint. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But so the overall point, I'm kind of hoping he's healthy because I do think there's a few things that are playable for him. It obviously depends on his health. It obviously depends on him sticking around in the series. But watching how they played in that matchup in March, I think he's going to be vital for what they're going to do.
Well, we know that Boston's the number one team in rim protection, and they also love to launch threes. And so does Dallas. I mean, Dallas launches as many threes if close. We know Dallas has, points per play. These two teams are in the top 5 in points per possession per play. So the 3-point line is going to be an indicator. And I think obviously if you don't shoot well in a game, the one team's going to lose. But what's your bet on the 3-point line that you find the most enticing?
Yeah, I think it is that Porzingis deal, right? The ability to lead the series and made threes, Michael, at 20-1. I'll also say this. I think one of the interesting matchups that's out there, and again, you can shop around for all these different markets, and I've been sifting through them and trying to find some new ones. In that regard, in terms of three-point makes, Derek White is matched up head-to-head with Kyrie Irving in for the series most three-point makes. He's only about $1.40 favorite. And I think in terms of volume, he's going to have a big edge. We know that they have home court, so he's going to be in the more comfortable venue more often than not. And the volume is going to be massive for him too. So I thought that looking at Derek White head-to-head -140 just to make more three-pointers in a game as well was going to be worth it. And I think, Michael, to your point too, this is why this is going to be so important, building this around the three-point line. We know about the volume that Boston likes to shoot, but they're doing something different than these other teams that these Dallas Mavericks faced in the series leading up to this. They have a center that's going to be able to shoot at all times, whether it's going to be Porzingis or whether it's going to be Horford. They're going to play two of them at the same time. So they're always going to have some sort of at least deadly shooter that you have to respect in some form or fashion at almost all five positions every single minute of the series. So that's going to be big for a Dallas team that has made its hay just packing the paint and protecting the rim at an extremely elite level. How does that change for you defensively? And it all comes back to that 3-point line and how they're going to handle it offensively. So I agree. I mean, I think obviously a lot of us would that the 3-point line is going to be pretty big, Michael, but in terms of betting it, I do think that Porzingis at 20-1 might be worth a small sprinkle at a long shot play if you want to sweat something out long wise. And that head-to-head prop between Derek White and Kyrie Irving for just most made threes, but $1.40 was very cheap for a head-to-head matchup like that, considering what we know about the two players.
How are you attacking the series leader for rebounds?
So I thought this is interesting, Kelly, and I'll give Kelly Bidlin a shout out on this because, you know, he pointed this out. There's a wide variety of prices too. So for example, DraftKings, Femi, they have Jason Tatum as the rebound leader at about -150. You can find him at -105. You can go out and find exactly some cheaper prices on that. And I think that's totally worth it when you're looking at, let me see here. Hold on. That's points. Yeah, -150 at DraftKings.
Yep.
So there's a -105 out there in multiple shops. And I think Tatum, if you look at it from a statistics standpoint, he's an elite defensive rebounder. He's going to have the opportunities. These are big teams, but it's not like there's some hulking monster defensive rebounder out there that's going to dominate the glass in any way, shape, or form for either of these teams. They're going to be able to have the opportunities. And Tatum's very good in that regard as well. So I think if you look at that, especially when you're talking about a price discrepancy where -150 is out there, but there's still plenty of -105s. I think a guy like Tatum is worth like playing at a short price. And I'll give Kelly another shout out because he put that on my radar. We were texting about that. And I thought that was a very smart play to look at.
You have a finals MVP. Look, you gave us Jaylen Brown, Eastern Conference Finals MVP. We love that one. What about NBA Finals MVP?
I'll tell you this. And actually, I'll invoke that Jaylen Brown vote. You and I were kind of tweeting back and forth about this. The fact that that vote was 5-4, I don't understand that at all. I don't think that Tatum had as strong a case as Brown when you're talking about the most valuable moments of that series win over Indiana. So if that was that tight, I don't know how you're not looking at this series and whatever team you like to win, you're not voting. You're not going with their best player, right? Whether it's Luka Doncic or Jason Tatum, because those guys have so much gravity for these voters that even a normal stat line is going to be able to give it to you. And dare I say this? If there was a time, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if there was a time that a player could win a finals MVP and lose a series, Luka Doncic statistically could put up quite a few numbers in this series and average potentially a triple-double. So I think it's something to keep in the back of your mind, but I think ultimately you land on the two best players for the best teams.
Yeah, I don't know if the voters can stomach voting for a guy on a losing team. I mean, they gave it to Iguodala instead of LeBron in 2015.
They're not objective enough. There's no way. Yeah,
there's no way.
They're not objective.
There's no way. So, yeah, just Tatum or Luka is probably the best path. JVT, great stuff as always. Check out all of his stuff on VSiN.com and VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern Time, weekdays here at the network. Good luck with the bets, man, and be well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll get back to the NFL on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We you're so close to crowning an NBA champion with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5 and you'll get a bonus bet back or equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSIN. The crown is yours. That's a great advantage right there. Bonus bet back equal to your first bet. Hey. Sounds like people should take advantage of that. Once again, promo code is VSIN. Welcome back. It's the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSIN senior NBA analyst, who joined us in the last segment. If you want to get more of JVT's thoughts on the NBA Finals between the Mavericks and the Celtics, make sure you check out VSIN.com. They're writing daily stuff on the NBA Finals, whether it's series, prize, finals, MVP, game-to-game stuff, whatever you want, props throughout. VSIN.com is your go-to for all of that stuff. Michael, let's get back, though, to the NFL. A couple segments ago, we were discussing Micah Parsons, his absence from OTAs. Well, he's not the only star player that's absent for their team. Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, has been absent from at least four of five OTAs, according to CBS Sports. Jackson, according to Mike Florio, has missed out on $750,000 of workout bonuses, which Lamar's a very rich man after the contract that he signed last year, but $750,000, it's a lot of money. I don't care how much money you have, but Lamar has missed out on. John Harbaugh was asked about Jackson, the reigning MVP, not being there. Here's what he had to say earlier this week to Ravens media.
I think this is like the fourth practice we've been out here. We've only seen Lamar once. Is that disappointing to you, or is this what you kind of expected?
Yeah, it's this time of year. You know, it's a voluntary time. It's really not something that we comment on. We can't. And that's just the time of year it is. So I can't speak for anybody that's not here. You know, I pretty much know the different reasons guys aren't here most of the time, but not always. You know, nobody's required to tell you.
Can't comment on that one. Like you said in a couple segments ago, this is voluntary and it's collectively bargained and they don't have to show up.
They don't. And, you know, I mean, what you want. But like I said, Brady wasn't at all these either. I think people have, and so there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of whether it's, you know, speaking engagements or I've got appearance to make or whatever that is, even though they're making a lot of money in their profession, they still have other things going on in their life. And so, look, the offense isn't going to change. I mean, he'll be there for minicamp, you know, and we'll go on. I think we make way too much of this. I really do. I think we make way too much of these OTA days, because if the guy's going to come in shape, that's really all that matters. He's got another year to get himself into the system, but you know, there's no contact. It's a little bit overblown. It really is. Oh, they're not there, you know. And for me, he can't get injured if he's as long as he's working out and in shape. The ones you worry about, Femi, are the guys who are not in shape, who you have to get in shape. The Trent Browns of the world, the guys that the Jordan Davises, who are, you know, saying he's in shape at 350, right? That's the ones you're worried about.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, that like, hey, like this is voluntary stuff and we make too much of this. But the coaches, both John Harbaugh and then a couple segments ago, we played a soundbite from Mike McCarthy, head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Both gentlemen looked a little annoyed. Are they more annoyed by the question or are they annoyed by the star player not being there?
Well, they're annoyed because they're coaches, right? The reason they want to do away with the offseason, the reason we have so many rules about the offseason is because the coaches have abused it. You know, Gruden would start the offseason program a week after the season. He called it quarterback camp, you know, and because he wanted to keep coaching. And so, you know, now he's bringing the players in and having quarterback camp and we're coaching. You know, it's great. But the players are like, we wear them out. This is why the rules have changed dramatically. This is why the players are like, look, I don't want it. There was a time where there wasn't an offseason. I mean, you know, and you didn't feed the players year-round and all those things. But we've improved in that area, but we've gone too far with the on-the-field stuff. Not the fundamentals, because they need that. It's the team environment stuff. Like, offensive and defensive linemen need fundamentals, 30 minutes, 45 minutes every single day, pad level, working on your hand placement, working on your foot, your balance, your techniques. Important stuff, right? Really important. It's fundamentals. It's like going to the driving range. But now when you get into group settings and all of a sudden you're doing, because guys want to, Walsh used to say this all the time, you know, the coaches just want to have teams so they can coach. you know, they want to coach the team. And it really has become counterproductive. And this is why we have so much resentment towards the offseason. It's simply because the coaches abused it.
Yeah, and the proposed change from the NFLPA that they're trying to finalize to maybe go ahead and do away with OTAs and do more of a training camp ramp up, which would start in late June or early July around 4th of July time, and it'd be you're from there all the way through Labor Day weekend. It would be like a training camp type of setting, which would be a very, very long time. But again, the coaches clearly, of course, they want to coach here, but I don't know. A part of me does, and maybe it's an old school mentality or something like that. Like, I don't consider myself old school, but
well, it doesn't matter. Like, if they're not at training camp, if they're at training camp, it matters.
Yeah.
If they're not with the team, but you're not. I mean, look, Parsons is going to be a great player next year, whether he's in OTA or not. So is Lamar Jackson. Now, here's the reality. You know, you can get some other guys reps that they need. You know, that's the problem. See, nobody equates it to it. It's a mathematical issue. Right. It's a math. There's only so many reps you have. And when you can take a veteran out of the reps who really doesn't need a lot of them, it's like one time we were at practice. It was 91, 92. And Belichick took Kosar out of the halfway through the practice. I said to him, geez, he said, how many more Y sticks is he going to throw? Like, yeah, that means we need the other guys to get reps, too. He's right.
No, that's definitely a fair point. I just better not be blowing any defensive assignments. That's all I'll say. Jordan Davis, you mentioned him.
They're going to blow defensive assignments. They're going to do it. You know they are. But that and the guys who are at practice are going to blow them too. So that you know, two wrongs don't make a right here. it's like somebody once said, I think Thomas Sowell said this, you know, when something goes right, it's wonderful. When something goes wrong, it's somebody's fault. You know, it's like, no, that's not always the case.
Sometimes stuff just goes wrong. I guess that's football. It's an imperfect sport, but we try to make it as perfect as possible. Jordan Davis, who you mentioned, Philadelphia Eagles 30-year defensive tackle, was asked about the difference between new defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and DCs they've had in the past in Philadelphia. A very funny soundbite that we want to play for you guys here. Here's Jordan Davis on what Fangio has brought to the Eagles.
Old school. I'm sure you heard that all the time. He's old school, so he don't give a damn. We running, he expects us, everybody that's on the field, he expects us to be on the field for as long as we can. So, you know, we just know that he wants us to be out there. And I mean, if you're going to be a player, you're going to be a dude, you want to be out there and you want to play. So I want to be that dude. So I want to play. Like, it's really no BS with him. It's straight ball. You know, some people like it for better or for worse. I play with all types of coaches from high school, college. I mean, Kirby Smart's the worst of the worst. So not the worst of the worst, but he's old school. You get what it's suspected on. You know it's a job to do. You got to do your job. If you don't do it, then it's a miss.
The Kirby Smart line is hilarious to me. But, I mean, he means it in a good way that like, this guy's like, hey, they're on it. Yeah. They're on it. And Fangio's one of those guys that's cut from that cloth who is on these dudes to get this stuff right.
Well, especially in Philadelphia where, you know, the sports science seems to take over and the conditioning of the team. I mean, he was talking earlier in that clip about how he's in better shape, you know, but he's at 350. Like, what did he weigh last year? He had to be 400 pounds, right? I mean, who's monitoring the weight of the players? That's not old school. That's not old school at all. That's good school. That's important. You know, because we all have a propensity to get fat, including me. Like, if you don't watch it, you're going to get, and then you're out of shape. And when the game's on the line and a game matters and you got to rush the passer, you're not in any kind of conditioning. I mean, that's what happened to the Eagles. Look at their defense. You know, Carter started out like it was an easy lock to cash your ticket for Defensive Rookie of the Year. It looked like it was going to be a piece of cake, right? But he got out of shape by the end of the year. He couldn't do anything. Neither could Jordan Davis. And all Vic's trying to do is maintain that level of conditioning. And so he's just that's not old school. That's right school.
I think you organically came up with a new segment for us here on the Lombardi. Elliot, make sure you write this down. Old school or good school? I think it could be a good segment that we have here on the show. That's good stuff there.
We get this. Working hard isn't old school. Like, it's not. It's not old school to work hard. It's an important school. You have to work hard. They're not giving out titles just because you, I know this shocking to people in America because they just want everything given to them. But at some point, you have to work. I know that, you know, Tom Thibodeau works the players too hard, yada, yada, yada. You know, nobody says that about, you know, other teams that have injuries. It's poor just Thibodeau. He works them too hard. You know, it's like ridiculous. Great teams work hard. Great teams understand how to practice. Practice execution becomes game reality. That's why we call it practice. It's ridiculous. Nobody's walking to the finals. Oh, that's too hard. I don't want to do that. But I want to be a champion. Come on. Stop.
Speaking of which, did you see your guy Embiid on the Champions League broadcast in the pregame?
Oh, come on. You know he's going to get hurt over there. Lock it down.
He's overseas in
London. He still looks out of shape. Somebody in the league told me he's 30 pounds overweight. I agree.
Let's get to the writing spotlight to start hour number two. It's the Lombardi Line.